This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Futurology Show with Brett Levy, and only Brett Levy today, but I do have a co-host guest. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Brett.
How's it going?
Yeah, cool, thank you.
Good, good. So I've got Mike Cowan joining me today. Mike, bish, bash, bosh.
And
yeah?
Co.
And co.
Co.
Okay.
So,
okay. Didn't forget the co. Bish, bash, bosh. What do you do? I mean, I know what you do, but just so people know who's going to be talking crap to them for the next hour.
Yeah. After realizing I was completely unemployable, you know, we started a new agency, and it really it's about building social impact solutions, building communities around social impact solutions, and then working with brands and turning that into what we call goodvertising strategies and influencer marketing. So we just, you know, have fun.
Okay, so you do what I do, nothing.
Nothing, exactly, okay. And
well,
everything.
No, well, at least we clarified that one, so that's cool. So, yeah, I just didn't feel like sitting here on my own. I don't know if Brett managed to, or B2 at least managed to log in anyway, but he's gallivanting in Amsterdam. I must give him kudos, though. He kind of did the show last week on the car and bailed to the airport, so, I mean, he was committed. And we were going to try and get him in Skype. So, Skype's on, Brett. B2, if you're listening, buddy, you can Skype in. We'll put you through happily and talk shit to you.
Is he not delayed still from rushing? So he's actually on a different time zone still.
Oh, I don't know, but he's in Amsterdam. We know what goes on in Amsterdam. Yeah, I mean, he's a beer fan, and there's a lot of coffee shops there. So
is that what they call them? Well,
that's the politically correct word. But yeah, so coffee shops. Guys, lots of shows. I mean, we're going to carry on with our Gartner Aspiring Innovator program. As I think we're in week 5 of 6 now, and as always, brought to us by MTN Business. So let's move into it. App of the week. So this week I found an app called Grammarly. It's even hard to pronounce. Grammarly.
Yeah.
Do you know Grammarly?
I cannot spell.
Okay, so I actually had my design in mind, and I hope to hell she's not listening, because she does make me coffee every now and then. I can just see a nice big in the next cup. Yeah. But Grammarly is fantastic. So what Grammarly does is the following. Basically, it works on an online environment. So it's not really an app. I don't actually know if there's an iPhone or Android version of it, but it's a web app.
Yeah,
okay, and it's got a Chrome extension.
Mm.
And I think for people that have listened to the show, they know that I generally use Chrome, and most of my extensions are there. So what Grammarly does is any online document that you type, it automatically starts to underline. Now, people are probably going, oh, that's called spell check. It is, but this is online. It does it in real time. And not only does it correct or show you the correction just by clicking, but it also makes suggestions. So from a grammar point of view, not just the spelling, which is very cool. The thing that I liked about Grammarly, there's you get an email once a week to show you how clever, how stupid you are. So you get this email that basically arrives and says, last week you did 320 words, which was 12% more than any other user, and you spelled so many words wrong. So it's basically a polite way of calling you a doss. I mean, it just sends you an email saying you're stupid, stop typing. But it actually is quite nice when you're in the top percentile. You used words that only the top 10% would. So that was pretty cool.
Is that simple or complicated words?
Well, cat, hat, mat, and Q are quite simple words. But so, yeah, that was my app of the week, was Grammarly. Now, we mentioned it last week, Wednesday. I called it Apple Day because last week at 10 o'clock Pacific, all gazillions of us little fanboys bubbled around our TVs and screens to watch the Apple event. I'm actually going to hover. I think I'm going to hover my hand over your mic, because I think you might start attacking me on some of the things that I talk about on the Apple event. But while I can get the blocks in, and Mike, I've warned you outside, I have the controls. So
yes,
if you get
do.
Horrible, I'm going to
yes,
turn you off.
Do.
No, I wouldn't do that. There's no censorship here. So the Apple event, the annual event where all little fanboys and geeks around the world get to look at shiny new toys, and the hashtag shut up and take my money starts circulating.
Yeah,
I did do it. So, I mean, in no particular order with the software updates. Now, there you can probably bash, because I can't really talk from a point of authority. Sorry. What I can say, though, is that with iOS 10, which is the new version of the software that's come out, the iPhone 4 and backwards, so 4S, 4, 3, 2, 1, will not be upgradable. Now, everyone's going to go, oh, that's not fair. So I never, ever attack Microsoft or Windows. But in comparison to other companies, that phone is like, what, 4 years old or 5 years old, I think?
Yeah.
It's probably about 5 years old. We're on 7, 6S, 6, 5S, 5. It's 6 years old.
Is it as much as that?
6 years old. So I think kudos. Your phone shouldn't actually be still running if it's 6 years old. The battery should have been replaced 3 times.
No, it should have.
So I'm not really upset about that. You're not in the modern world if you've got a smartphone that's 6 years old. It's just stupid.
Absolutely.
So that was the one thing. But normally, come 10 o'clock Pacific time when the servers turn on, I'm the first person to download software. And I didn't. I've downloaded it. It's there. It was like a 1.2 gig download.
Yeah, it's huge.
As per normal Apple things. I haven't pushed install. Mike, tell me why it's a good thing I haven't pushed install at the moment.
Well, my phone's crashed twice already this morning. So, because it was a long download, because at one stage it said 8 hours. I was sitting just doing some work on the couch yesterday, and it popped up and said update. So I said, why not?
Yeah, but you need to get fiber, buddy.
Yeah, look, it was on ADSL, but it took about 3 hours at the end of the day. I got to be honest, I had to go back this morning and check what the updates were to really understand the value.
No,
seriously.
The haters.
Yeah, no, look, I love Apple. Don't misunderstand me. I love the ecosystem. I love the products. And you know what the best thing about Apple is?
Everything.
No, they make computers that I can type on, because I got fat fingers.
You know, look, their computers, let's be honest. I mean, that there isn't another book out there. I think Chromebooks are going to give them a run for their money.
Absolutely.
But let's be honest, the MacBook is just, it's something.
It is something.
It's special.
Yeah, it is special. And the ecosystem works. It truly does. And that makes it a worthwhile purchase. The only problem with this iPhone that I've got now, I'm due for an upgrade. My headset, so I'm not going to get radiation in my ear. My speaker's broken. So, and my last Apple, my SIM card broke. But it's actually the underlying platform and the connection between the whole ecosystem that I absolutely.
I'm not going to lend you stuff, because all I'm hearing is blast and broke.
Blast and broke.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like okay.
And you know what? The upgrade was also broke, because my phone's crashed twice already.
Look. Everyone that knows me knows that I'm a fanboy. I don't hide that. I don't apologize for it. But I have to admit that what made Apple special was the software-hardware harmony.
Absolutely.
100%. And lately, it's been more about, well, even if it's not really ready, let's get it out.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm starting to see. And I'm seeing a lot of people that have been diehard iPhone users and Apple users are now talking about Android or something else. And that's the frustration, is that,
absolutely,
like you've just said, your phone crashed twice. You're busy. You're running around all day. Yeah. You actually can't afford for your phone to crash twice.
No, so, absolutely not. But you know what the other side of it is? When the iPhone initially launched, it was mind-blowing. And I remember looking at the keyboard and just being amazed by the quality of the keyboard.
Well, Steve Jobs was still alive then.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line.
You know, now it's a listed company, the biggest in the world, whatever, owes $14.5 billion to Ireland.
Yeah.
And now it's not so much about the quality.
No,
I mean, I'm not faulting the quality.
Yeah.
You pick up any iPhone, it's still sexy. It's still awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, Anyway, so the software updates, Mike. Maps has been upgraded. I'm chuckling because I don't use Maps.
No,
I'm sorry, but I don't feel like landing up in
the
middle of the outback when all I was trying to do was find a beach. Well, it's got sand, you know? Let's be honest, that was a foray that Apple shouldn't have played in.
No,
they should have rather just bought something or done a deal with someone like Nokia did with here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so apparently it's been redone. It's kind of gone along the Waze intelligence route that will start preempting. It's also what they have done with Maps. I think it's different. I'm going to say it's cute. Is points of interest. So on your journey, why don't you check out how it falls or whatever, because it knows where you're going. I'm on a journey from A to B as quick as possible, but it's there, okay?
It is there, and Google Maps is pretty well entrenched.
Yeah, that's what I use.
Waze.
No, but I use it. I use Waze and Google Maps.
Absolutely.
On my iPhone, that's my default setting.
So
and
it's become a habit now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Their mail's been enhanced. Their messages have been enhanced. One of the guys here in the studio was actually moaning about the message. Apparently, the notifications, like, pop up. and you can't get rid of them. You can't swipe.
Well, I haven't experienced that because I don't really use the Messenger because I don't know about you, but I live in WhatsApp.
Yeah, I do live in WhatsApp as well. I must be honest. Messenger is more like if someone sends me a text, it comes through Messenger.
Absolutely. I've got to be honest, though. I think what they've done on Messenger is pretty cool. And it's a sticky factor and it's a utility factor. I was playing in it this morning and I sent my wife a whole lot of kisses that she couldn't read.
You can play rock, paper, scissors now as well. You can challenge someone to a game. I mean, that's like, okay. But we're talking about it.
Yeah.
So it's there.
And the App Store in Messenger.
Yes. Yeah. And you can also do apparently calculations. You can also make active screens. They've done a little bit of a Google Allo type thing. But anyway, I think a lot of the stuff though behind the upgrades was more about behind the scenes, the functioning of the software and the performance of the device.
I agree.
Getting all the stuff to talk together.
Yeah.
As I said, I can't talk from a point of authority. I've downloaded, but I haven't installed it. In fact, today I've just got such a hectic day, I could not afford for my phone to go down. So I'll do it tonight, and then tomorrow when no one can get hold of me, you know what happened. Right. Then something that no one saw was AirPods. Okay.
Yes.
So AirPods. AirPods are, so the only way I can describe it, I mean, it's radio, it's hard visually. When you take the solid plastic parts of the ear set that you put into your ear, where the wire starts, like to join, that's where AirPods stop. So these are little things with these little booms that come out. Now, what I put it very clearly on my page, shut up and take my money. I think about $160 is the best $160 I'm ever going to spend, and I am going to spend it. You can use them individually, so they have little sensors on them. So if it picks up that only one's in, it will only do Siri and phone calls. If you put them both in, it gives you the enhanced digital music environment. And remember, Apple's all about music.
Yeah.
So it's got crystal clear sound. And, you know, if you look at the guys that they partner with, they didn't mention it, but I would assume it's a JBL or a Harman Kardon drive inside there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's going to be good.
It's quality.
But here's the very cool thing. The part that acts as the microphone, so the little piece that's sticking out like where the wire should go in, it acts as the microphone if you're talking to Siri or phone calls. But when you're playing music, it reverses to a noise-canceling environment. So it now blocks out the outside sound. So now you've got noise-canceling in a portable environment. The battery life is 5 hours, but this was like when it was sold. It comes in a little case. Now, I'm one of those guys that carry my current AirPods. Apple Buds in its little plastic box in my bag, all nicely wound up and neat. I am one of those. It's just me. When you put them in the box, they charge. The box is the charging device.
Yeah. Your dental floss box.
Correct.
Yeah.
But also when you flip the lid, it automatically pairs. It does the whole Bluetooth wireless thing. So there's no touching settings. And so I really thought that was cool. I thought it was nice. Now, the haters out there, in fact, there was a beautiful parody about Joan Ivey talking about how we're selling you stuff that's crap in another way and just take your money. You use a MacBook.
Yep.
So you know firsthand when you go and do a presentation, you have a bag full of adapters, the HDMI, the VGA, the da-da-da. So the first thing that was just you need another adapter, and that's like, no, you don't. The box does all the work for you.
Yeah.
So that was quite cool. And we're going to talk about adapters later because we can talk about it now. On the iPhone 7, one of the features, there's no more earphone jack, which the rumors were talking about.
Yes.
I'm a fan of that, okay, for a simple reason. I love music, and I love quality of music. And the Lightning port is going to give you a proper digital experience. Okay, now Wozniak was against it.
There was.
He was like, no, don't do it because he won't use wireless. And so he obviously won't buy AirPods. Absolutely. Well, he wouldn't have to buy anything. But What Apple did that I really, really have to take my hat off to is they listened. For once in their lives, they listened. Okay, and I say that because they don't.
No longer there.
Well, correct, because he would have been no. They've put a free, you don't have to buy it, they've put a free adapter in the box.
Yes, they did.
That will take your Lightning port back to 3.5 so you can use your existing headset.
No, absolutely.
So, well done to them, because for those people that are going to move into Lightning port, they are going to hear the difference. I can guarantee that.
Absolutely.
And for those that have bought 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 Rand headsets, because that's where the moaning was, there's a free adapter, it's the same quality,
and it works.
Blah, blah, blah. Right.
The only question is, how are you going to charge your phone whilst you're listening to music? Because the battery life is the problem.
Correct. And so I agree with you 100%. Now, apparently, here we go. I think it's Belkin already that's done it. There's an adapter for that.
There's an adapter for
so you can get an adapter that you can put in that will have a separate port for your charge. Now I'm laughing, so it's got two ports. It's got two little slots, one for the cable in and one for out. But you know what? The new MacBook has only got one port. It's got the micro C. Yes. It's the same story. So same you can get an adapter that comes out that gives you HDMI and earphone jacks and all those type of things. So it's the way we're going. It's just the way we are going.
It is the way we're going. And it is. It's getting to the airport world. You know, it's going wireless. And to be honest, if I had less wires around me, I'd be a lot happier. Because I always get them entangled. I'm always untangling wires.
All right. So let me speed along. Watch 2. I hate Apple so much right now because everything that Watch 2 is going to do, I don't have on Watch 1. Okay. Main feature being waterproof. And then it's got the GPS built into the phone, so you, into the watch, so you don't have to be tethered. So you can get all your coordinates at, oh, hold on a second, we'll use maps. So I wouldn't use my watch for my GPS. But they haven't changed the size. Apparently they've increased the battery life, which is a problem with smartwatches. Yes. But for me, the waterproof thing is really cool. I mean, that's and I can get my cheat miles by standing in the shower. You know, when you wash your hair, your hand's moving. Right. I mean, it's pretty cool. So Watch 2 is coming out. What was impressive, I have to admit, is they explained that waterproofing requires special seals. And the problem is that on the watch is a speaker.
So that's right.
And they explained that what they realized is that when a speaker moves, it vibrates, which is air.
Yes.
So they couldn't close it off. So what they did, they reversed the speaker.
That's right.
So the water comes in. And when it's finished, the phone call or the sound, whatever, the speaker will pump once and actually extract the water by using air. And that's brilliant.
That is brilliant. No, absolutely.
So we give them that.
And you know what? That's what makes Apple great.
Correct.
That's the kind of thinking you want to see.
So, okay, Mario Brothers. So back to our youth. I mean, we all remember Mario Brothers. They had the little Oki there. He's so cute. This little Japanese Oki come out bowing. Hi, yo, hi. Yeah. And I get the interpreter. Yeah. They had interpreter. In fact, the interpreter was quite impressive because he was talking like almost in real time. But Mario Brothers is going to do their first mobile game on iOS.
That's right.
That is a kudos. And in fact, I know from being a developer and having developer friends as well that most people would develop for Apple first and then and or only Apple. I mean, I announced last week one of the apps that my app of the weeks from months ago has finally come to Android. Instagram. It was like a year later to made Android. So, yeah. Okay, so I should have probably saved this for my Pokemon Chronicles, and Brett's probably not—he's probably glad he's not here. But you can now get Pokemon on watch, and my son was like, "Shut up and take my money." I'm like, "No, boy, you're still not getting a watch."
No.
Okay, the idea being is that people are walking into poles, getting hit by cars, falling off cliffs. So now you don't actually have to look at your phone hunting it. You can just walk around and enjoy the beautiful atmosphere, and your phone, your watch will vibrate and show you you've got like a leper or leprosy or whatever the hell it is, a Charmander. I don't know. So you can get on the watch. All right. So to finish, it wouldn't be fair not to save best for last and finish off on iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus. We were chatting about this earlier. I've been chatting to people about this all week. Hate is going to hate, but they always come out everywhere. And this is the best iPhone we've ever made. Well, obviously because it's the next version. Yeah. But you know what? This really is the best iPhone they've ever made. I use a Plus. I like the big phone. Yes, I'm overcompensating. But what they've done, which is really clever, on the normal 7, it's a 12 megapixel camera.
Yeah.
On the Plus, it's two 12 megapixel cameras, but they've been designed one for telescopic and one for image. So you can shoot like DLR type pictures on a freaking phone.
And the depth that you get out
of it. It's amazing. It really is. Yes, the process is faster. It's now also, they don't use the word waterproof. They were quite cute about that. But basically, if you fall into the pool, you're cool. But don't go and take your phone for a swim. It's kind of the message that came across. Which I think is important, Mark. I mean, you know, you're goofing around. We're going into dry season now. We're going to be outside. And Oak pushes you into the swimming pool. Your phone's trashed.
It is.
No, it's not.
And it's too expensive for it not to be waterproof.
So they've made it waterproof, which I think is cool. Like, fall in pool, get out proof. Or if it's in the rain, you can get a little bit resistant. There we go. So that was the Apple event in a nutshell. Sia is a freak of nature. I'm sorry. I do like her music, but she did the live singing. You still can't see who she is. And thank God for that because the clothing she was wearing was ridiculous. talking about events, okay. So I went to an event last night. Hisense invited me to the launch of a ULED TV. You were looking at me like that. So you guys don't know what ULED is. It's probably ultra. You'd think I'd actually was paying attention, but I'd probably look at the eye candy. Anyway,
The TVs or the...
But I'm just leaving it at that, my bad. That was a safe safe pass.
Yeah.
So ULED, basically it's 4K and it's curved, okay?
Yeah.
What they've done is they've spent their time and money in the research on making colors the focus. So not the quality and the sharpness, because let's be honest, they've all kind of got that, you know? And they do the split screen between 2K and 4K. What was impressive is that black and white were so vivid on this screen. It was ridiculous. Like, when you look at black, think about what I'm saying. When you look at, like, a night scene, it's actually gray. It's not black.
No,
because the process is trying to, like, move it. Black is black.
Absolutely.
And light is light. And the depth, when they start putting shit in, like, different layers. So the event was great. Thank you for the invite. I enjoyed it. And I don't really do things on TVs except for watch them.
Yeah, you know? I think that's a smart move. And just to give you a thought, I mean, my background was I used to work for Plascon. I used to be in charge of all the color.
Okay.
And color is a tricky one.
Yeah.
You know, you put paint on one wall and it looks different on the other wall. And
correct.
Color, it's a massive opportunity.
It's so funny you say
it's
that.
It's a clever, clever approach.
At the Hisense had Dion Cheng as their keynote. Now, I know him as the fashion dude. I didn't realize he actually does quite a lot more. And it was actually quite, if you haven't heard Dion speak about flux and trends, it was quite impressive. But the thing that he said, exactly what you just said, the research that he showed was that if you do an article or print or something in black and white, it's got like a 15% recall.
Yeah.
If color's there, it's got an 80% recall.
Absolutely.
I mean, so it's just all about color. They had this game, like driving game, like Formula One. So you're using their TVs as the screen. And because they curved, you like felt like you're in the cockpit. And if you had the fastest lap, you won the TV, like the 55-inch TV.
Yes, were Yokes fighting with each other?
Well, one Oak went like 40,000 times. After two, I realized I can't drive. It's just that simple. I gave up, but I did give it a whirl. But yeah, it was nice. And it was nice to be there. McDonald's. So this falls into my AR type of thing for the week, because I always talk about AR and VR. Have you seen Monopoly? I mean, I know you eat McDonald's every day of your life, Mark. You know, so I know you're there, you hang out, you know their pricing.
Yeah,
so they always have the annual.
No, you see, man.
Dwack. They do Monopoly every year. So what they've done this year is you get your Monopoly thing, but now using AR, you can actually bring the content to life on your phone. You can scan and reveal codes. So it's kind of like a spin-off of this whole Pokemon environment that we're living in.
Yeah.
But they're at least saying, hey, there's the tech. We're using the tech. We're cool. They've evolved. It's not just another scratch card. So that's what I came across this week for AR.
Do you think it's a bit early for that kind of approach?
Dude, I've been doing this for 5 years with AR. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So my answer to that question is no, it's about fucking time.
Okay.
I mean, I've been running around like Don Quixote going AR, 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 and they think I'm just this donkey going, Now, some chop comes out and makes things appear wherever, and everyone's going nuts looking for
ballistic.
This. You know?
Absolutely. But I asked that question just to line up, because is this not where Apple actually missed a trick on the AR and the VR?
They didn't. So Brett actually buried them last week.
Okay.
And one of the softwares we were talking about was a company called Mateo.
Yes.
They're the biggest AR developers in the world. Apple bought them, and they're gone. They're nowhere.
Okay.
So what Brett was saying was like, when we started talking about that phone Project Aura that Google's killed, here was Mateo. Really, we used to use Mateo to build our AR apps.
Yes.
Gone. So they've shut doors. They've been acquired. We know probably iPhone 8 will come out with built-in AR and image recognition and all that. But they bought the company to do that. So I don't think they missed the boat.
Okay.
I think they're just getting it right. That is what Apple does do. I mean, remember the first iPhone didn't have SMS on it. Because Americans phone in those days, they never text. iPhone 2 had no SMS. iPhone 3 had no MMS. They had to do an update. They got it wrong twice.
Okay, you see, I never had that earlier.
Yeah, no, I did.
Okay, I didn't realize.
So they actually got it wrong. They didn't have SMS because in America it's free to make a local phone call.
Yeah.
People phone each other. And they were like, well, hold on a second. We're actually going to sell these phones around the world and there's no SMS.
Okay.
So, just a little side note.
Okay, so next year is going to be more interesting than this year, I think.
But it always is. The 7 or 6, whatever, and then the S is kind of like we weren't ready to put it in time. We have a reason to buy a phone.
Yeah. More money.
Right. So now just a little bit of fun. Normally guys compare the size of their junk, okay? But when you're a billionaire, you actually get to compare the size of your rocket. So old Jeff Bezos, what's his name? They're from Amazon, the CEO, Bezos. He called out old Elon Musk and his comment, my rocket's bigger than yours. So one day when I'm a billionaire, I don't have to worry about the size of my junk. I just got to worry about the size of my rocket, apparently.
As long as it doesn't blow up.
Well, that was kind of why this all came out. Not only does it blow up, but mine's bigger, you know. And I'm like, it's just another world where you start talking about how big your rocket is. You know, where did you holiday this year? Oh, we vacayed in the Caymans. You know, oh, well, did you go there on your rocket? No, it blew up.
Aren't we buying Jacob Zuma a new rocket?
Oh, hopefully. The one that they tried to deploy last week. Did I say that out loud?
No.
Okay. Cool sport of the week. And maybe I should start a new segment called Cool Sport of the Week. Drone surfing. Okay? Just let that sink in. Drone surfing. So he has this oak. It looks like he grabs his board. It looks like he's going to run like a skimboarder.
Yeah.
And you see, and he runs and he jumps and he picks up the handle that's going next to him on the ground. And you look up and it's an octocopter and it pulls him and he's mapping through the river. Very cool. It's geek sport. I mean,
no, you know what? It's geek sport until it goes mainstream. And you're going to see everyone down in that bay in Cape Town with a drone. Instead of a sail.
Not in Cape Town. That's like bad for the environment. Maybe in Durban. Because they got kite surfing there. Nice, the drone will keep flying to shit in the wind.
There's no wind in Durban.
So drone surfing. Now, Apple missed my favorite Apple Watch of the week, which was Jim Beam's Apple Watch. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
So Jim Beam, the bourbon, like Jack Daniels, they've come up with what they call the Apple Watch. It sold out straight away. It went online and sold out like an hour. It's a watch. Well, it looks like a watch. Okay, now you're laughing because this is for the rednecks. Okay, so it looks like a watch, but it carries a couple of shots of Jim Beam inside it.
Yeah.
So when you need to get your dope on for the international listeners, your drink, when you need to get a shot, when you need to go and get your drink for the day, because, you know, we all can't make it through a day without a shot of bourbon at lunch. Right. So, you now carry a tot of Jim Beam in your watch, and they've called it the Apple Watch. I don't know why Apple. Maybe it's their little play on it, or the color of the watch is green, but you can carry a shot. In fact, there's enough, I think, to share with a friend as well. It's got like this little attachment that goes on it that you can use it like as a cup, and you can actually have a drink out of your watch.
So it's not a virtual reality thing. It's a
It's a real watch. You don't have to carry a hip flask anymore. You can now carry your booze in your watch. Can't say what time it is, but when you're drinking that, when you have that much of a drinking dependency, no one really cares what time it is.
And it's always one time.
Like seeing those movies. You know, when you watch those, what do you call them? The investigators, the private investigators. Yeah. And they're always putting a bourbon shot in their coffee. It's like, chunk, just pour your watch in it. Anyway, but I mean, it's cool. It's conversational. This one I kind of like, but I don't understand. And I've got to be careful I say this so I don't get myself into trouble. But Airbnb was very public about a racial discrimination policy this week. And apparently, I've actually never used Airbnb, by the way.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I know it works. No, and everyone raves about it.
Fantastic.
But apparently, the people that rent their units have been profiling on race, on all kinds of things, on demographics. So like the guy that wears a Jim Beam Apple Watch, they don't want them living in their penthouse in New York.
Yeah.
So they're basically saying their philosophy is that it's rooms for all. Here's where I'm going to get myself into trouble. I'm not going to say anything racist and I'm not the next Benny Sparrow. All I'm saying is the following. I own a home, okay?
Yeah.
My home. I've paid for it. I've furnished it. It's mine, okay? I don't really care what your policies say. I should be allowed to say who can and can't stay in my house. Now, I agree that race should not come into it, okay?
Yeah.
I can't say to you, you can't come there because you're white or you can't come there because you're black. But if I look at a picture of you on your Facebook page and you've got Billy Bob Thornton teeth, okay, and you've got a piece of straw and a Jim Beam Apple Watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't want you in my freaking apartment in New York.
No, I just don't. It's a difficult one.
It is a difficult one.
It's an extremely difficult
one. And I'm going to say another one now, which is not race, but more religion, okay? Jewish people and Muslim people sometimes have fights and they have issues in that.
Yeah.
How do you get around that where, you know, you've got a Muslim person, and again, please, I'm going to just say it again. I'm not actually having a go at Jews or Muslims, but if you have a very religious Jewish home filled with lots of Jewish paraphernalia, okay?
Absolutely.
And a Muslim person wants to rent that home but doesn't realize that it is. Now, what happens when they come and stay in that home and there's, you know, they want to now face Mecca or whatever, but there's these big stars of David's and candelabras and the things that are inside your show and on the doors of mezuzah. So you should kind of probably look at that and say, well, hold on a second. And now I'm going to think 9/11 because we just had the anniversary, but maybe they're going to leave a bomb in my home because they know I'm
exactly.
Jewish. So
exactly.
Yeah, these are, it's a little bit gray. So I'm actually going to be quite interested to see how that one plays out.
It's an extremely difficult one. And we've also become very politically sensitive about it.
Correct. And that's why I'm saying it openly. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just saying, how do you police a policy like that without actually infringing on someone's rights? That's kind of...
Absolutely. But maybe also part of the process is you're allowed to showcase your... you know, you talk about the Jewish home. Let me show you what my home actually looks like, and there's an affinity to that process.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is
a tricky one. I don't want to say anything that's wrong or politically incorrect. I'm just saying that, you know, I choose my friends based on certain things. Actually, I don't have any friends. I'm lying. But I choose the people that I want to hang out with based on certain things. That's profiling. I mean, that might be called snob. I don't know, but that birds of a feather flock together, blah, blah. So it's going to be very interesting. I mean, Uber's had the same type of problem. They were like not picking up people based on the ratings. So the driver's having a bad day, decides I'm a doer and gives me a bad rating. I can't catch an Uber again.
I think also, Brett, it's a challenge because everything's centralized into Uber or Airbnb. What happens when these platforms are actually disrupted through a blockchain type of framework where it becomes a completely distributed network where I, as Michael Cowan, can profile myself as exactly that and say this is exactly what I want, but there's no central authority to actually say yes or no, but it becomes a pure peer-to-peer environment. So it'll be a very
interesting.
It's a very interesting.
It's a very interesting play that's going to come out there.
Yeah.
So my Pokemon Chronicle, which I've already kind of used, but I have to mention this one because this was just porn star, and the scary thing is how many they're going to sell. Launching tomorrow, actually. No, 16th. 2 days' time. Sorry, Pokeheads, you have to wait 2 more days. Is a $35 device called a Pokemon Go Plus, and it works on Bluetooth with low energy because we all know your phone already dies playing Pokemon. But it's designed about health and fitness. I'm actually reading here. It vibrates and lights up when Pokemon and Pokestops are near and can be worn on a user's wrist or as a pin. Its goal, according to Niantic, is to blend Pokemon Go even more seamlessly into family and fitness. Guys, really, go look at the Brightwater Commons. They're sitting on freaking chairs with battery packs waiting for Pokemons. They don't leave. They throw a lure or whatever and they wait. So, I mean, my son wants one, but he's 10.
So does the Pokemon run away from you?
I don't know. No, you got to call them. That's why sex offenders in New York aren't allowed to play Pokemon Go. No, I swear to God, that's a law. They're not allowed to play Pokemon Go because if they drop a lure on their gardens, what are they luring? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, look, all the kids in the neighborhood coming. You know? So, but I'm laughing. I'm making fun of this device. But I'm sitting here going, Niantic share price and bottom line is about to go up by like 500 gazillion, billion, trillion, 370 million rands now.
It's like calling the chocolate breakfast cereal healthy because it's got vitamin B on it. Yeah.
Right, so we're about to introduce our goose. Listen to me, I'm thinking about the goose, the chocolate, the gravy train. Okay, so I actually asked outside. I'm going to have to ask you again. Emeka is his nickname and abbreviated name. I'm going to try this, okay? Nanameka, I can't. You can introduce. Normally, I let people introduce what they do. I'm going to say Emeka because you told me that's your nickname. You can tell us your name, please.
So my full name is Obodekwe Nemeka. Yes.
I just like Emeka.
Yes, Emeka,
fantastic.
Sure.
I'm so glad I asked you that outside because, you know, in quite a few times in my life, even like I've done voiceovers and what names and pharmaceutical product names, these like long Latin names. I sit there. Blah, 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 blah.
You can't even say pharmaceutical
properly. Right, so your company is called Criterion.
Yes.
Okay, and you are now our fifth out of six aspiring innovators from Gartner. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Tell us what Criterion is. I mean, it's that elevator pitch. That's why we're here.
Yeah, so Criterion is a procurement company. So we identified a problem of tender corruption in South Africa.
No, really? I mean, you can hear, Mark, you can hear he's got an accent, right?
Yeah.
No, you, sorry, corruption in South Africa? No.
Haven't we just been ranked the most corrupt country in the world?
Probably, yeah. But Criterion will sort that out. Sorry, carry on.
So yeah, we found out we were taxed to...
We can call it the Zuma Zuma.
So yeah, we were taxed to find out a problem in South Africa that we could solve with a system. And that was when we found that among all the 14 members were all we shared the same problem, which was the problem of tender corruption in South Africa. So we now decided to build a system that could automate the entire tender process. So from the point where the government advertises these tenders on the system, our system does a recommendation of to people that you can do this project, like how Amazon does, like if there's a book on sale, it recommends it to people. So we recommend this project to potential contractors. Then these contractors place bids on the, they view this project descriptions, they place bid on the project. Then our system takes each and every contractor, matches them up to CIPC, picks up their directors, tries to get their directors' financial ratings, you know, uses it to kind of determine how financially capable are these people to actually handle this project. Also uses past ratings of your project, what past ratings of projects you've done on the system. Then another thing we introduced was the subject matter expert. So someone that gives a more reasonable recommendation of a price which this project should cost, and this price is now used in the evaluation of all these tenders. Oh, and there's now like an audit trail on these tenders whereby you can now view, okay, this guy had this guy's score was actually the best, why didn't this company pick him? So like there's more accountability and credibility spread among various people.
Okay, so let me just jump in there for a second, because what you're describing sounds awesome, okay?
Yes.
And again, I don't believe there's any corruption or anything that's wrong in this country. I would advise you not to sign up Oak Bay Investments as a client, because they're never going to use your they're never going to use your solution.
Yes.
I have tendered quite a few times in my life.
Okay.
I've gone through the process.
Yes.
So I think for the listeners that have never tendered, it is a ball ache.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you've got to go and buy. I love this part. You've done it.
Yeah.
You buy the tender, first of all. I mean, there's already corruption.
Yes.
I've got to go and pay you so that I can get a document from you to come and do work. But anyway, that's just how it is. It's an admin fee. So I go and get the document, and it really is an involved document. I mean,
yes,
it's quite substantial. And you fill out everything, and you put your body of evidence together and that, mm-hmm, and then you put it into an envelope, and you take it.
Okay.
The part that frustrates me with tendering, is you never get the results. You just get told you didn't win it.
Yeah.
You don't understand the criteria that goes behind it, and maybe that's probably where your name comes from. That's quite clever. They don't show you the weighting. They don't discuss it either. There's no like post-discussion, like a debrief.
Yeah. Yes.
So what do I do better next time? Also, because you're tendering, you in theory don't know who you're going up against.
Yes.
So I'm a small company. You're a big company. I'm already disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they might even look at my merit. They're going to go, well, who the hell is Brett Levy? You know, but we all know who IBM is.
Yes.
You know, so there are so many scales against you for tendering, which I think probably turns a lot of small businesses away from the tendering process.
Yes.
So the first question, and I think if you've listened to my show, you know, my first question always lands up being two or three. So you're going to have to stay with me on this one. One, does your system now also replace the paper trail, the paper aspect of it? In other words, you give me a platform or a digital. In other words, what is it? Is it a digital online platform that I fill out the tender on? Or is it, do you only take over once the tender has been done? Which stage do you sit in to start with?
Okay, the thing is, our system, we didn't say let's wipe away the government's way of doing things.
Carry on.
We still have all their paper things, but moved to an online system.
Okay.
So every paper thing, you describe what you want from this project. You want to build a house. The subject matter expert reviews it. So we use all this criteria. We now put it on a system for you. So, like you mentioned earlier, how like the smaller companies are disadvantaged already because, you know, computer is like garbage in, garbage out. But like, we also built that into consideration. We created a system that also supports the growth of smaller companies. So if a tender is, worth a very small amount whereby the small companies can do it. So the small companies we use like a preferential rating to give the smaller companies an advantage over the big companies to do that project. At the same time, if it's a tender worth so much, you can't trust the smaller companies with these tenders. So the bigger companies, you know, have like an advantage over the people. So, like our system handles the entire tender process from the pre-tender stage, which is like advertising these tenders, to the tendering stage, which is like evaluating these tenders. We even have a mobile app that, you know, like a chat room for all the bidders of this particular project, whereby like the owner of the project can, you know how WhatsApp has like a group?
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll bring everyone that bid on this project into one platform, where people can chat and talk about, like, you know, because government has this stuff, like, if there's a small change in the requirement, they have to set up a meeting, like a new...
Yeah, I've been through that, remember? Yeah. And you pay for the new documents. Yeah.
Yes.
They reissue the tender. I'm like, what?
Yes,
and
so...
And then they don't go through it, and then re-tender it, and reissue, and then, absolutely.
So we have like, like a chat room, whereby the admin, being the owner of the tender, can now decide to say, okay, this has changed, this. So, like, trying to cut, because the government keeps complaining about lack of funds in the country. So we're trying to see, you know, in every way, how can this system cut costs. And you can imagine the government lost 30 billion rands to tender corruption. And that's like 30 billion that can be used in the developing of this country.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a trade-off.
It's madness. Huh?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Then we have like a reporting system on our tenders that you're able to now view, okay, if the country is performing a lot of tenders in Gauteng and they're ignoring Limpopo. So like we show you a distribution of how these projects are being awarded over time. So even the government has like a straight on view of what's happening.
So you're actually giving feedback through the system then?
Yes.
As well. Okay, so there's kind of like really half the battle solved. Because there's nothing more frustrating than doing something and then not getting it, but not knowing why you didn't get it. And if you try to call someone and say, I tendered for XYZ and I didn't get it. Oh, okay, can you tell me why? No.
But you're taking it a step further because you're ranking all of the different organizations.
Yes.
So if I put my business on there and I complete a tender very well, I kind of get a 5-star rating on it.
Yes.
So you're kind of Uberizing the whole tender process.
Yes. So we don't just leave the company that advertises tender just after awarding the tender, then you're off. No. We still keep track of what happens to these tenders.
Yes.
You know, we even monitor like different phases of this project, because when you advertise this project, you say what the different phases would be. So if it's building a house, it's going to take, let's say, 2 years. At this stage, what did the person handling this project deliver? So at the end, we have an average rating of how this particular client performed and is used for your further awarding of, you know, like the next project you bid on. So it's used for that.
So you actually become credible,
absolutely.
As such. I mean, you're giving a ranking or a history of previous bids. You kind of explained where the idea came from. I mean, you're looking at the problems that we have. Boy, do we have problems. The show's only an hour, so I know that you've pretty much come out of your development stage now, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting at it. Have you done anything with the system yet? Are there betas that you've experienced? You know, where are you in the journey now? Because a lot of the times I say to listeners, we're talking about this product, you can go here, you can use it, you're not at that stage yet. I mean, yours is obviously coming out of the beta, or am I wrong?
So, we've developed the project to like a beta phase. It's running, but like, What we've been trying to do is put it out there, get it to people that would be interested in it. You know, we actually competed in the Microsoft Imagine Cup with the project, and it won the best project in South Africa.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. So, yeah, we're just trying to get it out there to get the right people to hear about the solution, and then we can roll it out to a full-blown system.
It's quite simple, surely. You just got to go speak to Sully and Herman. I mean,
Yeah. And for any legal information, please contact head office directly. you know, where you are at the moment, the beta stage, so what would you need to make it work? In other words, does the government have to mandate this system? Let me actually take that back. Mark, you'll know this from our agency days.
Yeah.
There's a company called Yardstick.
Yes.
So whenever we've tendered or pitched for design work and agency accounts, they bring this company in called Yardstick. And Yardstick rates us and vets us,
mm-hmm.
And then goes back to the client and says, based on what your brief was, based on what this, then you can, you know, then you can basically use this company.
Yes.
So they've got algorithms and criteria that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you're hoping that the governments of the countries, I mean, not just here, we're in Africa, will be able to identify and say, hold on a second, so-and-so actually is the right person because of XYZ. But in order for them to find out about your system, what do you have to do to get it into the system? That's because you've got a great idea. You've won an award. You're sitting here because you've been involved, identified by Gartner.
Yes.
Does the government know how far down the road are you with the government? That's the important
thing. They've got a disincentive to adopt you.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, so, especially at the moment.
So I think I'm not going to actually mention the names of the people, but like we've met with some people, but disappointingly, what we just heard was how does our system cater for friends to the government, you know? So that was like, so imagine like four university students, you know, so it was like a damp on...
Was that the terminology that they actually used?
Yes.
Look, it doesn't surprise me, okay, at all. No, I'm sorry. Mark, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
But the scary thing is that how do you actually move forward? Or, you know, what they're basically saying, and this is probably the stance you guys have to take, you know, you as Criterion, you and your partners, you actually have to go and say, if you don't put the system in, all the energy we've put into building the system, we're now going to put into telling the people that there's actually a system like this out there that our government doesn't want to use.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely, 100%.
I mean, how do you cater for friends? You don't. You go and have a bra with them on the weekend and you that's what you do. They're friends, yeah.
So chuck them in the pool with their new resistant phone.
And like, even when we started building the system, there was an article the DEA published about trying to build a system like this. So part of us going to Gartner, going to the Microsoft Imagine Cup was, you know, to get the news to the right people, because I can rock up one day to our municipality telling them I'm looking for the procurement officer.
No.
And everyone is just going to look at you and be like, okay, just sit, and you probably wait for the whole day. So, yeah, it's we were looking for, like, different platforms. Every opportunity we have, we compete in things to just, you know, put the system out there and hoping that the right people could hear about it, and yes.
Okay. You're still floored by the fact.
I am floored by the fact, because when I read the overview, you know, the intro that I was given on what you guys have done, I was like, finally. Okay. I mean, and I don't mean this horribly, but this is coming from someone who's lived in Nigeria.
Yes.
Where, let's be honest, they're infamous around the world.
Yes.
I mean, you guys wrote the book on corruption.
Yes.
We've just learned, you know, it kind of trickled down south, and we don't, I don't think we do as good a job as you do. But the point is that this could make things so much better.
Yes.
We could all be happy. None of us would be sitting around. I mean, here, there's three guys. We could be sitting in a pub.
Yeah.
And talk about things like sport or hot chicks, not about the corruption of this country, because that's the topic.
No,
that's all people talk about.
No, absolutely.
You know,
but there's an opportunity here as well, though, Brett, because things have changed. You know, post 3rd of August, there has been a shift in thought process. Because before 3rd of August, because I've heard about systems and solutions like this before, but the incentive to implement them is not friendly. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's but, you know, I think we actually need to get Brent Lindekue. Brent Lindekue is one of our DJs as well. He's got that portal called The Good Guys.
Yeah.
You know, and The Good Stuff Show. And it's all about happy. You know, he put together a, what do you call them? A petition, and it went like wildfire. If you don't get installed into government tender processes, we need Brent to put a campaign together, because we all want it.
Yes.
I don't care who does the work. I just want the right person to do the work, and the right person being not the friends of Parliament.
Yeah.
And it can be them. Sorry, yes. The friends might be good guys.
Yes.
But are they the right guys? That's all.
Earn it on merit.
Huh?
So, 100%.
So, like, due to the problem we faced, we are actually now building this. We are now transitioning the system from being a government to business system to now being a business to business system.
Okay.
So, like, a LinkedIn.
Okay.
So, how LinkedIn brings together recruitment people and people looking for a job. So, we are now trying to bring together projects and people that want to do this project. So be
that's smart.
Yeah, that is smart.
You go through a procurement process.
Sure.
And I would rather put pins in my eyes with most procurement processes.
Yes.
But it's almost centralizing me and saying, as a business, this is who you are.
Yes.
Standardized, and it becomes a standardized procurement process.
Now that is smart, because at least that way, if we can't solve government, we can at least try and keep business.
Yes.
You know, at least that's where a lot of the money starts falling down. So we are getting towards the top of the hour and the end of the show. One of the last things that I wanted to ask, because I always go through this model, especially if you're getting to the business side of it.
Yes.
The costs, the commercial aspect. So you've got this cool product. Okay, now there's software as a solution, there's a license fee, there's etc. What is the role from a commercial point of view that Criterion would play in this tendering process? Do you just charge a fee per tender that's going out there? Are you hoping that you have the finished product, once it comes out of beta, as a licensed product that people just pay? How does the commercial model work? How do you make your money?
So we were hoping to use registration fees. So once you use the system and you want to receive information about bids and tenders, you can register on the system. So like how LinkedIn has like premium accounts.
Okay.
So depending on some features. So some features are free, but like premium features, you get, you know, some paid services. So we're kind of using like a mixture of a freemium. So you have some free stuff and you pay to get some stuff.
So basically everyone can tender, but if you pay a bit more, you can get the insights as to what the previous results are. Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, it still keeps it transparent, and it's a case of how badly do you want it.
Yes.
You know? I quite like that.
Yeah.
So what is next for Criterion? You're saying you're going into the business side. Are you still going to keep plugging away and maybe becoming a friend of government somewhere? or you're chasing two different models at the same time and just see which one bites first?
So we have the government system ready to run, but like the business to business is still in the alpha stages. So we're just hoping that the government comes around and, you know, they don't want to sort out their friends again.
Okay.
Yes, and try to adopt the system.
All right. We have to wrap it up. Mike, do I throw you in the hot seat? Because Brett, too, normally comes up with this pearl of wisdom every week called the thought of the day. Do you have a thought of the day based on this experience? Or?
Sure. I'm a bit numb from the experience. It's been a while since I've been in a studio. But I suppose the thought of the day is there's hope. You know, Apple survived an update. I think the real thought's going to come next week when the Mac OS comes out.
Cool.
I think that's going to be the big one. But I think the kind of initiatives from Criterion, I think, are the kind of things 100%. That we need to be seeing. And that does give me hope. You know, four young kids out of university coming up with amazing solutions.
Hopefully they'll be friends with someone important soon. So great.
100%.
Emeka, thank you. Well done. We'll see you down in Cape Town in 2 weeks' time
at
the symposium, the Gardner Symposium. Mike, thanks for being my co. It would have been lonely up front, buddy.
I can
sit here and talk, but it's nice to talk to someone as well. So, yes, MTN Business, thanks again for sponsoring our show. We do appreciate it. And until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
This is CliffCentral.com.